This message is brought to you by Worship Radio 247. Please visit our website at www.worshipradio247.org, where you can find out more about us and listen to our live broadcast.
Worship Radio 247, David's Daily Devotional.
Welcome to the Daily Devotional today. We're at part 16 of Peace and Love. And today we look in Titus, the third chapter. I nearly said the second. The third chapter and verse 2. And whilst you're looking for Titus, I just looked and found out that we have been looking at this subject of one, resolving conflict, this subject of love and peace, since way back in August of last year, the 26th of August, I brought you part one of Resolving Conflict. We finished that in January, and we have, since about the 14th of January, been looking at peace and love. All part of this very vivid picture, all part of this mosaic that we're putting together of what God requires from us. Well, let's have a look at Titus. Titus is a book or an epistle or a letter that was written by Paul to Titus. In actual fact, Paul wrote three of these. He wrote firstly to Titus, then he wrote two letters to Timothy. And they're pastoral advice letters. In Titus, Paul talks about the qualification of eldership, really important. And many churches in this world, they regard Titus as the archetypal qualification, if you will, for eldership in the church. So Paul is speaking to Titus in a letter, and he says this. We'll go from verse 1. It says, "Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good." Now, Paul is saying to Titus, look, just tell them, just remind them, just keep reminding them that they're supposed to do what they're told by the officers of the church. Submit to the elders. Actually, that's wrong to say they're to do what they're told, but they have to submit. That means that eventually, if the elder of the church says, look, it has to be this way, then, beloved, it has to be this way. You see, in these days, they did not have a democracy within the church, as we do sadly today. They had a theocracy. That meant someone was in charge. That meant someone made decisions. And I absolutely agree in a theocratic government in a church. For a number of reasons. I don't want to go into it now. But because it was the Bible model. It's how the Baptist church was founded. It's how the Methodist church was founded. On apostolic leadership. On theocracy. And it's how I believe we should be looking today. We shouldn't be in a church, I believe, and this is my belief. This is what I believe. I'm not suggesting that you change your belief system, but this is what I believe. We should not be voting on whether to bring this minister or that minister. I really don't. I think it should be a decision that is made from the top. In a theocratic government, as Paul is advocating right here. Verse 1, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient. Look at that. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. And we come to verse 2. This is what we're looking at today. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle. and show true humility to everyone. Stop and consider. I want you to imagine, well, actually, don't imagine if you actually do live through this, but I want you to imagine that you go to a church where every single person treats every single other person with gentleness, and they show true humility toward each other. Can you imagine, can you perceive of a church like that? Can you imagine what an incredible place that would be if that were so? But beloved, I don't know that many churches that are like that. I have to say, the church that I go to is pretty close to that. And that's why I so love to go there. The welcome is amazing. The people are amazing. And from what I can see, they show true humility to each other. They really do. Some church meetings get a little heated, of course they do. But I love the fact that they love the Lord Jesus Christ with a passion, and it is preached time upon time upon time, the love of God, which is the whole basis of my whole ministry. They must not slander anyone. If you've got a Bible with you and you're looking at this and you can underline this, I want you to underline it about 9 times. They must not slander anyone. That means they mustn't talk about them behind their backs. That means they're not to say anything that perhaps might be untrue. They must avoid quarreling, argument, because quarreling and argument remove peace. There cannot be peace with quarreling and argument. It's impossible. And I believe this. If one person is arguing with you and you're not arguing back, it's not an argument. If one person is having a go at you and you're saying nothing back, you're not quarreling. It's up to that person to see that. But when that happens, this is what Paul is advocating here. Beloved, bite your tongue. Stop your tongue from joining in with the quarreling. Stop your tongue from any argument within your community. Stop your tongue working 10 to the dozen to try and hold your own corner. You don't have to do that. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." It isn't yours, beloved. It's not up to you to seek revenge. It's not up to you to try and win the battle. I know what you're going to say to me. I cannot stand there and allow that person to say that stuff to me. They're slandering me and I'm just not having it. They always want to argue and quarrel with me. You, beloved, have to bite your tongue. And that's not all. Oh, it doesn't stop there. You have to love that person as Christ first loved you. Are you hearing me? That is what you were required to do. That is what you must do. You have no choice but to do that. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle. Already that's difficult. If I were to stop there and put a full stop right in the middle of that verse, that's already difficult. Oh boy, is that difficult. But there's no full stop. There's no comma. Paul goes on to say, instead, they should be gentle and... There it is. There's the and. Something else is coming. And show true humility to everyone. Not show true humility to your church leaders. Not show true humility to those that you love and respect. Not show true humility to those who are always on your side and you never battle with. No, 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 no. There's a huge word right at the end of that verse. Underline that verse too. Underline this. True humility to everyone. Say everyone. Everyone. Say it again. Everyone. Show true humility to everyone. Beloved, I say this so many times on this broadcast. You have no choice. You have none. Whoever told you that leading a Christian life was going to be the easiest life in the world lied to you, because it's not. It's very difficult. And as we go through scripture day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we've been broadcasting now for almost 4 years, and we give glory to Almighty God for that. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, we are broadcasting God's message. We are broadcasting Jesus Christ saved. And we bring you words that come only from Scripture. I'm not making this up. It's what it says. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be one, gentle, and two, show true humility to everyone. The Bible says, humble yourselves. Jesus says, humble yourselves. And I believe the Lord would say to you, if you're finding that tough, then stop trying to do it on your own. The Lord is saying, come to me. Come to me, and I will help you. Do you want more humility in your life? Do you want more gentleness in your life? Then turn to me and ask me. Say these words with me. Father God, I pray now, in Jesus' name, for more gentleness and for more humility. Pour it in, Lord, into my life. And I promise you, I will follow you for the rest of my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.